hearts and minds to receive a fresh word of God delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Morning. All right, hold up your Bibles and let's jump into the word today. We do this every week for those of you who are new to our church. Why are they holding up their Bibles? That's weird. We are a little weird, but let me just say, we're weird in a good way. And we hold up the Bible because we make a proclamation about the word, because the Bible, everything that I teach you comes from the Bible. Here's what we say. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I'm starting a new message series today entitled, To Be or Not To Be. Now, we know that that famous line comes from the Shakespeare play Hamlet. Now, Hamlet in the play is talking about living and dying. We're not going to talk about dying today in the literal sense. We're going to talk about dying to self and learning that if in our relationships, that if I learn to die to self, instead of always looking for someone to be what I need them to be, if I will just learn to be what God created me to be first, then my relationships will be better, starting with our relationship with God. If I don't have this relationship in order, or this relationship is not as good as it could be or should be, then you know what I find as a pastor and have been doing counseling now for many years? When this relationship is not in the greatest order, never because of God, always because of me, all the other relationships of my life seem to struggle. It's a fact. Let me show you the correlation. When we do this correctly, this all kind of works out. It's the cross, right? And so I've noticed when my wife is good with God, we just get along better. I can do that from here because she can't reach me. People ask me, you pay the price later? Nah, she forgets. She may not now because I just said that, but now, to be or not to be, that's the question of our relationships today. I want to talk this week today about our relationship with God and next week about our relationship with our spouse, both from the husband perspective and the wife. I wish I could get Peggy to preach with me. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Yes. They want me. They want it, babe. The following week, I'm going to talk about being parents and being children, because we're all both. Well, some of us are both, and some of you will be both one day.
Same time.
At the same time. And then employees and employers. We all work for someone or with someone, or we employ people. And either way, we want to be the best in all those relationships. But I find in order for us to be the best, then I have to be the best version of me that I can be. People often enter into a relationship with Jesus when something happens in their lives. They're going through something. And then as they go through this thing, they'll find they have this incredible peace while they're going through these difficult seasons or times of their life. And then when the difficulty passes, as it always does, by the way, we go, Jesus who? And we leave Jesus behind because we got what we wanted, because really it's not about him, it's about us. It's the way we live our lives in all of our relationships. It's about what can you do for me instead of what can I do for you. I've often heard people say of God, you know, God let me down. You know, I prayed and I sought God about this thing and he didn't answer my prayers. And if God really loved me, like the Bible says he does, if he really cared, yes, and he was really loving, then you know what would happen? Then he wouldn't let me down this way. And then, of course, there's our marriage relationships. If my wife would just do this, if my wife would just do that, if my husband would just be more this way or that way, right? And when we focus on the other person with a set of unrealistic expectations They're always going to let us down because they're trying to meet an expectation they weren't created to meet. Then in relationships with our sons and daughters, some of my kids right here on the front row, and when they let you down, because they do, you go, you know, and if you were just a better kid, you know what I mean? Like, I don't never say that to y'all. Y'all are really... No, maybe, the problem children are not here. I hope they're not watching. I think what if when our children let us down, what if we began to just look inwardly and say, where did I fail? Where did I mess up? Maybe I left something. Maybe I wasn't the best father or mother that I could have been or should have been. And maybe had I, just the thought. We do it in our workplaces. We do it even in our churches. You know, that church didn't sing the songs I like. Or that bald-headed guy's just not, you know, it's not that funny. I'm funny, bro. Now, what if we would just be the disciple God created us to be, or the husband or wife that God has intended us to be, or the parent or the child that I'm supposed to be, and the employer or employee that I could be? You know what? Instead of always placing the emphasis or the onus on somebody else to be what I need them to be, what if I would just be the best version of me that I should be? It's a lot of being. This is what would happen, I believe, that we would be a lot more forgiving, that we would be more empathetic, we would be more loving, we would be more gracious to God and others, because we realize that life's not perfect and people aren't perfect. And yes, God is perfect, but we go through things sometimes, and that's just the world we live in, amen? See, I've discovered over the last 23 years that people become followers of Jesus, and during those difficult seasons and when difficulty passes and so on, we forget all about the peace we found with God. And as followers, we have these unrealistic expectations of Jesus and who he is and what he's supposed to be doing in my life. And then we think, I know people that come to Jesus with thoughts like this. Well, if I just come to Jesus, I'll prosper financially. If I just come to Jesus, I'll have great relationships. If I just come to Jesus, we'll never suffer harm or disaster. I'll always have good things happening to me if I'm a follower of Jesus. Anybody, is that your house? Because if that's your house, raise your hand, give me your address, because I'm coming to live with you. Because that's not the reality of the world we live in, right? Jesus said these words in John 16, verse 33. Put them up there. Here it is. I've told you, this is in red letters, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have, great things happen all the time. No, it's not what it says. What it says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Reality is, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but we don't have to worry when we have Jesus. Trouble comes and trouble goes, but you know what is the firm foundation that I built my life on can carry me through whatever it is I'm going through. See, sometimes people look at your life or somebody else's life, man, their life's perfect. Everything's just wonderful for them. They never go through stuff. No, you just don't see the stuff I go through, because I can go through what I go through and I can do it with peace because I know Jesus. You know, Jesus is the answer to all the questions and the solution to all the problems you'll ever have. That's the truth. There's an interesting phenomenon at work in the life of the person that comes to Jesus and just literally brings everything. When we decide we're going to come to Jesus and give him everything instead of expecting everything, what we find is we get everything we need. So how do we become the best follower of Jesus? That's what I love about the Bible. The Bible gives us the answers to all the questions that we have, right? And this is what the Bible says in Jesus speaking in John chapter 14, verse 15. I love it. Jesus makes it real simple. If you love me, keep my commands. You want to know how to follow Jesus? Here it is, right here. If you love me, Do what I said. Lesson over. Time to go. Verse 16. And this is what he said. If you love me, keep my commands. This is what he said he's going to do. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. In these two verses, we get a glimpse of the character and nature of God, right? We get a really good idea about what we are to be for God if we truly are going to follow him. In verse 15, he tells his followers, if you love me, do what I've asked. In other words, be what I've called you to be instead of always just coming to me like I'm the cosmic Coke machine and you just put in your request and make a request and stand there with your arms wide open like you're always ready to just take. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus is in the business of giving. That's what he's been doing since the beginning of time, giving. He's a giver. God loves us, so he gave his only son, right? But we have to remember that when we come to Jesus, we're to come bringing everything, expecting nothing, because he already did everything we needed. The beauty is that in verse 16, we see when we become what God's called us to become, we don't have to worry about anything else. When we become what he's called us to become, he's sending his help. How many of you know the idea of doing what God said is harder than it sounds? Anybody believe that? Only me and these three people over here. No, listen, it's a lot harder to do to make that simple statement true. If you love me, keep my commands. That's hard. You know what, though? This is what Jesus said. Look at verse 16. Put it back up there. If you love me, keep my commands. But this is what I'm going to do for you so that I'll make it easier for you. I'll ask the Father. He'll give you another helper, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, right? To be with you forever. In other words, I'm not asking you to do this all by yourself. I'm not asking you to figure it out. I'm telling you, hey, I need you to do this if you're going to follow me. And this is what I'm going to do to make sure it's easier. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to empower you to live the life I've called you to live, or to be what I've called you to be. Amen? God is so good. Now, I searched the Bible, the entire Bible, over the last couple of weeks. God, show me. If there's something I'm to be, if there's some way I'm to live, there's something I'm to be, to be a good disciple, what is it? And I searched high and low and through the scriptures, and I found it. It's found in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Turn there if you have your Bibles. This is what God said in Leviticus. Now, Moses is writing Leviticus to the tribe of Levi, the Levitical priesthood. And this is what he says. I'm the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I'm holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. Now, we know that Leviticus, of course, is written to the Levites, the priest, the Levitical line. And they're the ones who were to administer the things of God on the earth. So I searched the New Testament. I said, well, we're not of the Levitical priesthood. We're not part of the Jewish nation. So God, show me, is there something in the New Testament that we're supposed to be? So I went to the New Testament, because some people say, well, hey, the Old Testament is for the past. Jesus ushered in a new covenant. What does the new covenant say? Well, it's funny you ask. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, as children who do what? Do what he says. That's what obedience means. I do what you say. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Verse 16, for it is written, be holy because I'm holy. Now, Peter is quoting Leviticus chapter 11 here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Who is Peter writing to? I couldn't really hear you. The church. He's not writing to a Jewish synagogue. Now, he's speaking to Jewish converts, but he's speaking to Jewish converts who have now converted to Christianity and are now following the ways of Jesus, okay? All right, remember, go back to verse 13. All right, remember, anytime we get to Scripture and we start a passage off with that word, therefore, what are we supposed to do? Man, y'all are so smart. What's this there for? Now, I'm going to tell you what it's there for. When we go back and we read the beginning of chapter 1 of 1 Peter, we read about a living hope. I want you to understand what Peter begins to write in the first part of chapter 1 is about this living hope that we have. I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a living hope. Not a dead hope, not a dying hope, a living hope. A hope for today and a hope for tomorrow and a hope for the future. All because of Jesus. We receive this hope by grace. God gave us what we don't deserve. Amen? Amen. And he tells us, because of this hope, that we're to be holy. Now, the word holy is the Greek word hagios, and it means to be sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious. Ceremonially consecrated, that just means set apart, or to be a saint. I want you to point to the saint in the room. Now, you're a saint. You're not, and see, I know you're thinking. See, you come from Catholicism, you're thinking, no offense to Catholics in the room, and those watching us online, I mean, to step on nobody's toes. But see, you don't have to do all these things that the Catholic Church says you have to do in order to be a saint. You, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a saint. I'm getting some strange looks. Now, the word consecrated just means set apart for use by God and for God. And over the years, I hear people talking about living a holy life or being holy. And what we have to remember about being holy or living a holy life is I can't live a holy life by acting a certain way. You can't act a certain way and make yourself holy. Well, if I don't drink, smoke, curse, or hang out with women who do, then I'm holy. Well, maybe I should not drive in 6 p.m. traffic on the North Shore because I will lose my holiness. Well, that's for y'all. I mean, that's not for me. See, holy behavior won't make you holy. What makes you holy are the actions of Jesus on the cross. You understand that? Jesus died, buried, resurrected, you became holy. You became the holiness of God in Christ. When you said yes to Jesus, you all of a sudden became holy. You said, but I don't look holy. You ought to see my life. I'm not looking at your life, and neither is God. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he's no longer looking down from heaven going, I'm waiting for you to get holy. No, what he says is, no, I know he don't really look it, but he is, she is, and he is, and they are, because they are my children. So you accepted Jesus as your Savior, but your life doesn't look holy, and many times doesn't feel holy. And can anybody describe to me what holiness feels like? Good, I didn't think so. Nobody can, because it's not a feeling. I'm going to tell you today, and this is not proper English for you English teachers in the room. Don't stone me. But I want to tell you today how you be holy. Or how to be holy. How about that? How do we live a life of holiness? Well, the first thing, if you're going to live a life of holiness, you have to, number one, believe that you're holy. It all starts at belief, the basic belief that I'm holy. I'm not holy because I do holy things. I'm not holy because I say holy things. I'm holy because Jesus said so, and he's my Lord, and he's my Savior, and therefore I'm holy. Yeah. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are, say you are. Let that sink in. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Peter here tells us, as followers of Jesus, you are these things. He's not saying you could be one day, if you behave the right way, if you act the right way, you're going to look a little more holy each and every day. No, no, he said you are. We got to get the idea that we are, regardless of how it looks on the outside. You, the words you are, is a, it means it's a past completed action. It's done. When you decide to become a follower of Jesus as a born-again Christian, you are. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, you are. Good. Y'all got that? You are. Now, you know you've been called out of darkness. You are no longer darkness, but instead you are light. The problem with most believers when it comes to living a holy life is we don't believe it. It is very difficult to believe something about yourself. Very difficult to be something that you don't believe to be true. Yeah, how many of you ever heard this statement? If you believe you can, or you believe you can't, how's it go?
You're right.
You're right. So in other words, I'm not saying you can speak yourself into something. What I'm saying is I can believe myself into something. And if I believe, and I believe that I am, not because of me, I believe that I am because of Jesus, I am. You are. Now, many of us are still waiting for our behavior to catch up to our belief. Maybe it'll catch up one day and then I'll actually look like I'm holy. And it may not. Your behavior will never appear holy until you actually believe that you're holy. Then what starts to happen is the more I believe it and I get it into my spirit that I am holy, you know what starts to happen? The next thing begins to take place. I'll begin to behave more like I'm holy. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Eddie. You just said a minute ago, I can't behave my way into being holy. You're absolutely right. You cannot behave your way into being holy. But what happens when you believe what's already true to be true, you know what will start to happen? You'll start to behave like your belief. Everybody getting this? We'll behave as we believe. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look what he said. But just as he who called you? Is holy, so be holy in all you. So that means that there's a behavior attached to my belief. Right? I just want to make sure I'm not losing anybody. Now, what would happen today if you and I decided I'm just going to be holy as God directed me? Now, the word be is the Greek word genomai, and it means to be found or to follow. He said we're to be what? We're to be found or follow what? Holiness. The word is hagios, sacred, pure, or ceremonially clean. So how do we become or be found sacred, pure, or ceremonially clean? Well, we make every decision of our lives based on what God says, not what the world dictates. I don't do things according to the world's standard or the world's way. I do things according to this way, not my iPad's way, the Bible, right? And when I begin to live my life based on the truth of God's word, I'll begin to behave the things I've already believed to be true. We start to make every decision of our lives based on the truth of God's word, not based on the world's idea. Now, what I want, here's the thing. Not the things I want, but the things that God wants. How do you live your life that way? Not doing the things you want, but the things God wants. It starts with belief. I believe that you called me. I believe you saved me. I believe this to be true. Then I begin to go to the Word for every decision that I make in this life. I don't go to my friend. I don't go to Dr. Phil. I don't go to Oprah. I don't go to some book that tells. I go to the book. And the book has the answers for all my questions. And when I go to the book, then what starts to happen is I start to do things according to God's way, not according to my flesh. Just what your flesh wants. Your flesh wants the things that look good and feel good and smell good and taste good. You know, the things that ignite your senses, right? We all want to live a life of those things. I want to do things that feel good and look good. You know, that's what they said in the 70s, if it feels good, do it. Listen, as a Christian, if it feels good, you probably shouldn't be doing it, unless you're married. But that's another sermon. But I want things that please your senses usually do not please the spirit that's in you. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Look at verse 8. "Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." When we do for our flesh, from the flesh, we reap the consequences thereof. I want you to understand, Jesus is always more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. If we make every decision based on, is this going to temporarily make me happy? I can promise you, it will probably not make the Spirit very happy. And when we decide we're going to be holy, that we're going to believe we're holy, that we are holy, we're going to live that way, and our behavior begins to reflect that way, then number three starts to take place in our lives. We begin to behold the promises of God in our lives. How many of you want the promises of God? All 7,200 of them over your life. I want you to know they're available to every one of you who says yes to Jesus. Now, there is one little caveat. You can't live in the promises doing things your way. Sorry, it don't work that way. See, we think I can have one foot over here and one foot over here, and I can do what I want over here, and I can do what I want over here. And they're two separate things. Listen, your life with God is not separate from anything. Your life with God is part of everything, or should be, right? And the problem is we want to have one life over here to do what we want. Make me feel good, smell good, taste good, all that fun stuff. And then all of a sudden I want to come to church on Sunday, you know, raise my hands, praise the Lord, you know. And I began to look different here than I do there. And God's like, "You're schizophrenic." That's not how you receive the promises of God. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 6. The angel, this is John the Revelator writing in Revelation. He's on the island of Patmos. He's been exiled. And he says, "The angel said to me, 'These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place.'" Verse 7 should be in red letters. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me," the angel said to John, "don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of the scroll. Worship God." You might want to underline that, highlight it, put it in bold print in your Bible, because that is an important statement. Then in verse 10, he said, "Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of this prophecy of the scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to be right. And let the holy person continue to be holy.'" And I love verse 7, Jesus speaking, he says, "Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy, or blessed is the one who does what I've asked them to do." The word "blessed" is the Greek word makarios, and it means to be supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, blessed and happy. Anybody want to be fortunate, blessed, well off, and happy? All right, only part of y'all. Like, see, at this church, when I ask questions, like, I need response. Anybody want to be fortunate, well off, blessed and happy? There we go. Much better. Thank you. Thank you. Like, dude, I had to drag it out of y'all. God, man. Worse than my children. Now, you want to know the benefits of a holy life? Well, there they are, blessed, fortunate, well-off, and happy. But here's what the world system tells you. If you really want to be fortunate, blessed, well-off, and happy, then do things that you want to do. You live your life like you want to. You your own person. You made your life. I saw a guy one time, he had tattooed on his knuckles, self-made. I'm like, right, there ain't nothing about yourself you made. Galatians 6 says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. So you want to know what chasing the things of the world will get you? Destruction. We just read it. We just discovered that when we choose to do things that please our flesh, we reap destruction. You ever wondered why life maybe at times seems upside down? Why things seem chaotic and out of control? Maybe we're doing things to please our flesh and not things to please the spirit. Just a thought based on the word, right? So how do we best please the spirit? You want to ignite the spirit inside of you? You do what the angel told John. Don't worship me, dude. Worship God. I want you to understand, when you decide that you're going to worship God, you know what you've just done? You put God in the most important position of your life, first place. And when you say, God, I'm going to worship you above all things. I'm going to worship you above my job, above my kids, above money, above things, above whatever. When we say, God, I'm going to worship you, that means, God, you're now number one in my life. And everything I do will revolve around you and not the other way around. God's first place. And when we make that conscious choice to make God first place, what we'll find is a life filled with and walking in the promises of God. And you'll wonder sometimes, I don't deserve this. Sometimes, I'm not kidding you, sometimes I'll tell my wife, like, why did we just get dealt like this really good card? Like, God's good. Like, our life is good. Why? Could it be that I just decided one day, hey, I'm not living to please this anymore. I'm going to live to please this. And when I live to please this, we begin to walk in the favor of God. We begin to walk in his fortunate, well-off blessings. When we decide that we're going to live holy, we decided to be what God has designed and called us to be. How do we live that life of holiness? You got to believe. Your belief will ultimately lead to your behavior, and your behavior and your belief will lead to you beholding the promises of God. Would you stand with me? If you realize today, you know, man, Pastor, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. Man, sometimes my life just seems crazy upside down. And I'm tired of living like that. I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to begin to walk in all the fullness that you have for me. I want to live in this abundant life that you provided for me. Not sometimes, all the time. I want to ask you to just come to the altar and I want to pray for you. You're saying, God, I'm not living the old way anymore. I'm doing things a new way. It starts with you believing. Your belief will ultimately lead to your behavior, and those things combined will cause the promises of God to be ignited over your life. And I am praying that the promises of God, all 7,200 of them, would begin to manifest in your life even before you walk out of this building today, that you'll begin to see and experience the goodness of God in your life each and every day. If your health has not been good, if financially you've struggled, if there are things going on in your life relational-wise, and you say, man, I just need to do things a different way, today's that day. with hands lifted high, we surrender ourselves to you, Jesus. God, we first and foremost believe, yes, that you created me holy. God, sometimes we're going to go home and look in the mirror and say, I don't look any different. But thank God it's about not how we look. It's not about how we feel. It's about the fact that you made us holy. And I pray that that fact would permeate deep into our spirit. And as it begins to take over and take control, God, we would begin to behave like the holy person we are. Well, how do we behave like that? We begin to do what you want us to do, not the things we want to do. We're going to do things your way. And as we begin to do those things, God, I know that we'll begin to walk in and experience the promises of God. And I pray that the promises of God would be manifest in the lives of the people of New Beginnings Church and those watching us online from wherever they are, simply because we believed it, we began to behave it, and now we're going to behold it. We thank you and praise you that you're a good God and we can trust you. Now we're just going to be in this relationship to be whatever it is that you've called each and every one of us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.